live from the WCPT 820 studios in Chicago, Illinois. This is the Ben Jarofsky Show. We're talking politics, 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 and bikes with our good friend, Mr. Bike, David Glowatz. And now your host, the meanest bike rider in all of Chicago. Look out for those Chicago bull red pedals. Chicago Reader columnist, Benny J. Ben Jarofsky.
All right, very good. Mr. Pike has rolled into the studio.
Oh, I see what you did. That was good. Rolled in. He rides bikes. That was good.
I went to radio school. Okay?
Oh, man,
don't ever forget that, all right?
Valid Victorian, apparently.
I was. I went to radio school, WLS, WCFL radio school.
You just threw a bunch of letters and put them together. That was good.
No, there's some baby boomers who are like, oh, yeah, I'm digging that. But millennials are like, what? WCFL?
Big time millennials have a fantastic program for you today, full of 2018 material.
All right. Thank you very much. With me in the studio, Dave Glowatz, independent journalist. Dave Glowatz reports on local government at shygov.com. That's CHIGOV.com. He's also Mr. Bike, a bicycling instructor and author of the best-selling paperback Urban Bikers Trips and Tips. Mr. Glowatz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ben. I'm always glad to be here.
And
Tricks and tips, by the way.
What did I say?
Trips.
Oh, one more time. Urban Bikers Tricks and Tips. All right, before we take the deep dive with Dave on biking issues of the day and political issues of the day, let's take some of these callers been waiting since the last segment.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Let's go to George.
Go ahead, George. You're on the air with Ben Jarofsky and Dave Glowatz.
Yeah, I had this question yesterday when you were talking with Lori Lightfoot about the killing of young Laquan McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
Among the many disquieting aspects of this horrific incident were the reports that high-ranking officers of the Chicago Police Department intruded upon a Burger King whose security cameras in all likelihood recorded the events that occurred that day. What I'd like to know is, did they indeed do this? Did they indeed take these tapes? And if they did, where are they now? Do they still exist? Have they been destroyed? Are they being hidden somewhere? Have the prosecutors got them in their possession? What, if anything, do they show? Does anybody know? Has any investigative reporters been digging into this aspect of it?
Those are all great questions, George. I do not know the answers to any of those questions other than that I could tell you they're great questions. Dave Glowatz.
We know that the Chicago Inspector General's office still has not released its investigation of that entire affair, and it's ongoing. George, that's an answer that I hope that investigation will give.
It's a safe assumption to say this, that if not for the fact that the Cook County judge in a Freedom of Information Act request case ordered the release of Laquan McDonald video, none of those questions that George asked would be even remotely answered. So, of course, because of the release of that video, it led to the indictment and the subsequent trial, which is coming up real soon.
September is what the judge wants to do.
Yeah, Jason Van Dyke. So I presume that those questions will be answered as part of either the Inspector General's report or the prosecution. David Glowatz is sitting here with me. He is Mr. Bike. He's the author of the best-selling paperback Urban Bikers Tricks and Tips. A lot of political talk to come.
This is WCPT 820, where facts matter.
Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show. Mr. Bike, step away from the piano. Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show, live from Chicago on WCPT 820.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Bike, Dave Glowatz is in the studio. He loves playing the piano, man.
I know.
He rides a bike. He operates a local government blog, Chicago, shygov.com. And he's the author of the best-selling paperback, Urban Bikers Tricks and Tips. All right. It's so appropriate that you're here in the studio because last week, Troy LaRavier, mayoral candidate, set off quite a debate on the show. And it went into the weekend. The weekend shows were talking about it as well. So when Troy was here in the studio talking about the issues of the day, I asked him about what can be done to sort of bridge the gap between the police officers, the Fraternal Order of Police, and many members of the black community who feel that police are unfairly policing their communities. He went into a lengthy explanation, Troy did, very learned explanation about the criminal justice system and the unfair ways its justice is meted out. And as an example he gave, and I did not know this example, so I learned something right there and then, Dave Glowatz, and you probably knew this anyway, he cited a Chicago Tribune article that ran in February by Mary Wisniewski that pointed out that in North Lawndale, a black low-income community in the west side of Chicago, there were 397 citations written by Chicago police officers against people violating biking rules. In contrast, in Lincoln Park, a very wealthy white community in the north side, there were five, and I almost fell out of my chair. 397 to five. I cannot think of any explanation to explain that gap. 397 to five. And a lot of callers said, Ben, there's far more pressing issues than bicycle citations. But I think the larger point is that it's indicative of what Troy LaRavier was talking about. So what, in the most general way, is your thought when you hear 397 to 5? Do you think there's any, first of all, explanation, legitimate explanation for that difference?
I could tell you what the explanations that I've heard are. Mm-hmm. I myself have never been a victim of that, so I want to set that out right there.
What do you mean a victim?
I've never been ticketed for bicycling on the sidewalk. I've never been ticketed for bicycling, period.
Okay. Now, have you ever broken a rule that could lead to a ticketing?
Yeah, I run red lights. This isn't being recorded, right? I've run red lights.
Off the record.
Just between all of us here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I run red lights. I run stop signs.
Now, let me ask you this, and I do not know. Confession, even though I ride a bike all the time, I do not know all the rules. Is there a rule on the books in the city of Chicago that says it's against the law to run a red light if you're a bicyclist?
I'm guessing that most of your listeners have a driver's license. And a rule of thumb is that if it's illegal to do it in a motor vehicle, it's illegal to do it on a bicycle. There are some rules that, by the very nature of bicycling, don't apply. Like, you wouldn't drive your car on the sidewalk. There's no room on the sidewalk. But, you know, things like obeying traffic control devices, such as red lights and stop signs, yielding right of way. Essentially, what the law says in Illinois and throughout most of the country is that bicycle riders have not only the responsibilities that motor vehicle operators have, but they have the rights that motor vehicle operators have.
What do you mean by the rights?
Well, if I come to an intersection at a four-way stop, the other vehicle operators, the motorists, if they're motorists at the other streets, they must give me right away in the same way the law provides for other motorists. So in other words, in that situation, what's the rule? If, say, two vehicles come to a four-way stop at the same time, who goes first?
If they get there at the same time, the guy on the right. Is that right?
That's correct. It doesn't matter if I'm driving a car or if I'm on a bike.
Wait a minute.
I get the same rights. I get the same rights. I got a new bell, by the way.
Yeah,
last time it actually broke in the studio. And I didn't bill you guys for it.
No, that was very nice
but
of you.
So that's an example of having the same rights.
Mm-hmm. I see. I got you. Okay, that's what you meant by rights. All right, so I'm not aware that there's a law in the books that said you could be ticketed for riding on the sidewalk.
If you're 12 or older in Chicago. And the suburbs differ. There's no state law about that, but Chicago has that.
That's an interesting distinction. So if you're 11, you can ride on the sidewalk.
But if you're 11, you're probably not carrying ID to prove that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if you're like one of those 11-year-olds with who's already growing a beard? You know what I mean? There were some kids like that in junior high, you know? So a cop pulls you over, asks to see identification.
I'm guessing that most of these people who were ticketed in the Tribune study were clearly adults.
397 to 5, Dave.
That jibes with the 2016 numbers, too. They did a previous year analysis. And it's not just in North Lawndale. It's places like Austin. So they looked at majority black or black and Latino, or I should say Latinx neighborhoods. And they found that people were cited for all sorts of things, but the most common things the bicyclists were cited for were sidewalks. Let me look at the, if I can, the transportation landscape to sort of put this in perspective. The city's Department of Transportation says those neighborhoods, such as Austin or Lawndale, they have a disproportionate number of traffic crashes, disproportionate to the rest of the city. So we have that. Then there's another possibility that people in those neighborhoods actually use bicycles for utility purposes. I mean, like not going to ride on the lakefront, but to get from one place to the other, more than people in higher income neighborhoods. Why would that be? Because it's expensive to operate a car. And for many communities, low-income communities, the bicycle is the mode of transportation of last resort. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of statistics around this because there are no citywide counts. We have census data that records the trip to work, but that's not really indicative. Then we have another pretty clear phenomenon is where are there facilities that people would feel it's safe to bicycle on? So someplace other than the sidewalk. I have here the city bike map.
Show those listeners that bike map, could you please?
Actually, there's a camera right there. You can show the Facebook. So
those of you not looking on Facebook Live,
yeah.
I'm showing the north side of the city on the bike map. It has the streets colored, certain colors where there are bike lanes. So on this map, if there's a green, red, or purple colored street, that mm-hmm. means that there's an alternative to riding on a non-bike-friendly street or the sidewalk. So that's the north side. If we flip it over to the south side, again, for those not looking online, there are far fewer of those colored streets. So that shows you just in a very gross way that there are fewer sort of protected or marked lanes in the city. So we can conclude based on that on the west and south sides, people bike on the sidewalk due to that lack of infrastructure. And Mr. Bike says that a fear of motor vehicles is a reasonable fear in any neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I think it's pretty reasonable to expect those people to bike on the sidewalk.
Here's the Ben Jarofsky theory. Yes, I agree with you. There are fewer bike lanes on the west and south sides than there are on the north side. There's the bike culture of the city plays to more on the north side and the west side. But I do not believe that explains 397 to 5. I believe there are plenty of Northsiders who ride on sidewalks, even though there are options in the streets. In fact, I know of some Northsiders who ride on sidewalks. In fact, there's one sitting in this studio right now looking at Dave Gloatz, who's been known to ride on a sidewalk on the north side. I just don't think police are ticketing people on the north side of Chicago like they ticket people on the west side. But that does not absolve the city of your larger point of the need to start making the west side a little more bike-friendly to bicyclists. Dave Gloatz in the studio. He's, of course, Mr. Bike.
How about we talk some politics now? Let's go to Ron.
Go ahead, Ron. You're on the air with Ben Jarofsky and Dave Gloatz.
Number one, mm-hmm. Nixon was a war criminal and a traitor. He's the one who opened up the door to China to start shipping jobs and union bust. We'll start with that.
Okay.
And he vetoed the Clean Water Bill that was passed by both houses of Congress.
All right.
Nixon was nothing but a scumbag. Now, with bicycles, mm-hmm. I rode my bicycle back and forth to work. I rode on the sidewalk all the time.
Okay.
I'll tell you, for the last 29 years, I was a worker at a major university. I used to watch kids on the north side. They are so aggressive on the north side. I've seen bicycle riders get pissed off and just drive by, and they're slapping mirrors. This guy must have had a rough hand, but he was slapping mirrors. He didn't break them, mm-hmm. but he would slap them inside to push it in.
Yeah.
And on the north side, if they drove like that anywhere, they'd go right through traffic. They make traffic stop. They are aggressive, and they cut in front of people. This one friend of mine, he was a Frenchman, he was ready to pull over his bicycle rider because he gave him the finger and to slap him out because he was so aggressive.
Yeah.
On the north side, they get away with murder as far as biking is concerned.
Ron, I have to agree with you completely. some aggressive bike riders on the north side. That's why I never bought the argument that somehow or other bicyclists on the west side were more in violation of the law than bicyclists on the north side. I never bought that because I've done a lot of bike riding on the north side. There's a lot of laws being smashed to smithereens. I just didn't know they were laws on the books, Dave. That's why I keep saying. I didn't even know you could get a ticket.
Ignorance is no excuse.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying it's an excuse. I just didn't know. But yeah, you're absolutely, Ron, that was a great phone call.
Ben, didn't the EPA get formed during the Nixon administration?
Yes, it did. He was a little hard on Nixon on the environmental aspect, but a lot of things he said about China were right on. Nixon was the one who opened the door to China, and it was going to happen sooner or later. I think it ultimately was a good idea, but there, oh my goodness, I could go on and on, Dave, and I know I promised I wouldn't.
You said you would restrain yourself.
I would restrain myself about Nixon and China. All right, let's get another caller in here.
Absolutely. Let's go to Bob.
Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air with Ben Jarofsky and Dave Clowatz.
You know, as they say, with our dearly beloved leader, by the day getting buggier and buggier, more and more we find out about this Judge Kavanaugh they want to bench us with. I just want everybody here in my good corn and bean growing state of Indiana to call our good Senator, Mr. Donnelly, and let him know that we don't want him playing around with this guy.
Well, now, Bob, that is a great point. We talk about this on the show a lot. Joe Donnelly, of course, is the incumbent Democratic senator from the state of Indiana. He's up for re-election. It's going to be a very close race. Indiana, your beloved state, Bob, went for Donald Trump in 2016. I don't hold that against you, Bob, but I'm just pointing out a fact that Indiana went for Trump. And so the notion, the conventional notion, is that a Democrat running for re-election in a Trump state should just sort of follow Trump. And in this case, Joe Donnelly would vote for Brett Kavanaugh. We've been talking a lot about this for the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Dave Glowatz, I have my opinion on this. Well, I'm curious about yours. Do you think that a Democrat in a red state who's running for re-election should vote for Kavanaugh?
I'm going to pull back sort of to the balcony view on this and say that I believe that people should vote their conscience. And, you know, you and I have talked over the years a lot about, you know, trying to figure out the best strategy around voting. Like if, well, you know, will this spoil the vote because this person is up over this person? I just think that's anti-democratic. I think that people should vote their conscience, vote their values.
I completely agree. And so if a guy like Joe Donnelly feels in his heart that Brett Kavanaugh is too extreme, he should vote no. Because, you know, it's absolutely certain that Donald Trump's going to rip him anyway on Twitter and come into the state, no matter what he does. So I agree with you on that. Mr. Bike, Dave Glowatz is still in the studio with me. D, set it up a little bit here.
Absolutely. We have an update from the newsroom, actually,
before we go.
We're doing the thing. Good God, the timing. Okay, well, I'm so sorry. We got a little time here. Hang tight. I'm going to go to the newsroom.
Okay.
Boy, this better be good. We're...
Hey, give me the story. It's embarrassing. Give it to me.
Okay,
All right. Good Lord, we're doing it. Okay, well, actually, okay, this is actually pretty good. All right, this is a good update here. Okay, well, I guess Barack Obama must love puppies, Ben.
Oh, he's endorsed J.B. Pritzker.
Yeah. Okay. Former President Barack Obama has endorsed J.B. Pritzker for Illinois governor. He's also backing Kwame Raoul for attorney general and three Illinois Democrats looking to unseat GOP congressmen. Obama announced his first midterm endorsements Wednesday and said he expects to campaign for several of them this fall. What do you think about that, Ben?
Well, I'm not surprised. Are you surprised, Dave Glowatz?
It was off my radar. I thought he was kind of like on vacation.
Who, Barack Obama or J.B. Pritzker?
No, I don't. Well, some say that Pritzker's on vacation.
Yeah. Listen, Barack Obama, you could really help. Come to Illinois, campaign for Lauren Underwood and Sean Casson. That would really help. I think J.B. Pritzker, well, he could probably use a little help too. So I'm not surprised. It's good to see, as Dave says, that Barack Obama is, yeah, you know, he wrote the book. Come on, Barack, get involved.
I did say it was good.
Oh, okay. take that back. Anything you want to tell folks about before we let you out the door, young Dave?
Folks can listen to our podcast at shygov.com. We've been doing it for 10 years, and we talk about all things Chicago government and finance, education. Pick your poison in Chicago government. We've talked about it.
Absolutely. Dave Glowatz reports on local government at shygov.com. He's also Mr. Bike, the author of Urban Bikers, Tricks and Tips.